Good morning, 610 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Today's show is brought to you by the letter lawsuit. I was trying to think of what I wanted to do with all of the material that I have. Like I said, about a 100-page document of most, not even all, of the law, the stories related to Rami Edler and the EMS drama over the last 6 years. But also the audio clips, because I thought to myself, you know, I must have some of this still in the archive. I went back and looked, and there were two key meetings back in 2019, May 3rd and, May 2nd and May 9th. I date my things the next day because that's when I use them on the show. Anyway, I decided is in this hour. So last hour we talked about the Shade meeting where they agreed to pay the $5 million to settle the lawsuits that Rami Edler, the former medical director who was ousted while she was on leave, and paid almost $1 million for that, and because she was a whistleblower and they retaliated against her. That's my read of that settlement. I don't know how you read it, but that's how I read it. And then you have this settlement for $5 million of what something could have been as much as 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or $200 million in penalties for basically filing fraudulent Medicare claims for transports. And there's a lot of technical stuff involved in this. But yes, this is all connected to the certifications, or at least somewhat connected to the certifications and the fraudulent certifications that were given to some people. And okay. So go back to 2019, because remember the commissioners kept saying how they don't know anything and didn't know anything and couldn't know anything. Well, I wanted to play you some of the audio from the meetings back in 2019. And remember, this stuff kept going through 2020. Jeff Bergosh says more than 10 years ago. No, sir. 2014 and 2020, according to the PNJ, that's what they say. This all happened while all these guys were on the board. Okay? And he joined in, 2016? Yeah, 2016. Okay. So back to 2019 and a meeting to talk about concerns at EMS and a request for training to get everybody trained, everybody certified, everybody up to snuff. Rami Edler had said, we need to do this training.
15 is concerning the immediate implementation of training for public safety paramedics and emergency medical technicians.
Okay, fair enough. An emergency decision that we need to go now and just get this done with. Lumen May, who was chairman at the time.
And see, here's the problem I have, right? Perception is reality. Just as we did all these change orders as if we were guilty of doing something wrong with the fire engines. And, you know, to retrain, I don't know if it's necessarily fair to make every one of our employees retrain. And it, you know, I'm not going to support.
That's Jeff Bergosh in the background going, exactly.
Support that. Here's what I will support. If there was falsifications of certifications and people did not get certified, then we ought to have immediate action. If someone made false accusations at someone, we should have an immediate action. I'm not going to punish all my children for one of my children staying out too late, so I'm not going to punish all the employees.
Well, if you know some are bad and you don't know which other ones might be bad, and you know that training hasn't been taking place for like 6 months since, or seven, 8 months at the time, since October. It's not punishment. It's benefit to make sure that the people are properly trained and up to, you know, what standards they need to be. And they'll enjoy it too, because if it's good training, professionals like good training. It's not punishment. It's, we don't know where the problems are. Let's just blanket make sure we don't have any problems.
I'm going to stand firm behind what Ames told me, that there was nothing substantiated in the certifications. And when someone brings me that proof, I'll vote to do certifications at that point. But I can't do it now. So,
Commissioner, I do wonder, what I said was that it hasn't been proven. And everyone deserves the ability to go through a process.
There has not been. Right, exactly.
It hasn't been proven, but the medical director is there saying this is a problem. And that's Amy Lavoie at the time when she was briefly. She was the county executive. I can't think of the county administrator. Sorry. Okay, so Rami Edler, then the medical director, gets up. And this is the stuff where you start to realize, oh, my God, they're just not willing to hear it. They're just not willing to hear it.
First of all, as far as substantial evidence, and there's only limited things that I can say, we have substantial evidence that was reviewed by your internal investigator that stated that they needed to stand down because this could relate to criminal allegations. At this point, the state needs to take over. It was advised against doing any other internal type investigation because that is subordinate to anything that would be potentially criminal. So I'd be more than happy.
So, Dr. Hill, I wouldn't want to know names or anything. As you said, it's an investigation. So when you tell me that it was substantiated and there are people that don't have certain, is that one person, the six people, or is it 20 people? Is it rampant through the department?
There were five people.
Five people.
Five people, but we don't know who they might have then trained, certified, falsified. We don't know the extent of this problem. We do know five, she says, and we have substantial evidence about that. So what should we be doing? Well, we'll get back to this in a second. Back to this conversation in 2019 between Rami Adler, then medical director, now winner of the settlement over the lawsuit over Medicare fraud with the county. And did the county commissioners know, or should they have known? She's coming to them and saying, hey, we got these certification problems. Let's go for a training. Ready One was the name of the company that she wanted to go with. Let's do it now and make sure that we get everybody certified and trained so that everybody in these trucks, EMTs and paramedics, is all where they need to be. Let's at least do that right now in 2019.
Five, I can't justify paying for everybody if it's five.
But let me say, when we say five, so you're saying as far as training and punishment to these EMTs, that's not what we're proposing. What you have is a foundation breakdown in EMS. So we need to redo the entire structure. Chief Nail and myself have been trying for months and months, and I can show you the emails, to try to do a reorganization with the management, because what you have is very poor management with your emergency medical services. With that being said, your leaders are poor leaders, and that is trickling downhill.
And the problem is that she, even though it's her medical license covering all the county's activities in this part, she has no authority to discipline anybody. She has to work within the chain of command. And if the chain of command is screwed up, which it was, how does she get them to comply with the things she's saying needs to be done on her medical license, when even stuff like employees were being told that if she comes and asks for records, just play dumb and lock the cabinets? It was insane what was going on in EMS administration at this time.
When you reference the five people, so
Stephen Berry,
do know for certain that five people do not have the certifications they're supposed to have.
So, again, I swore under oath that I would not discuss this until the investigation took place.
But you've discussed it at the podium. You said there's five people. I mean, that's disgusting.
I can tell you that there is substantial evidence that can support those possible allegations, but that's why we turned it over to the state. That was also reviewed by your internal investigator that looked at it and said, yes, this could also have criminal allegations attached to it. So at this point, we stopped. It was turned over to the state for further investigation.
So, I mean, those are very inflammatory words, even. Just the phrasing that you're using is, I mean, it's very inflammatory to then say that I'm not allowed to say the details of it.
So he's angry at her for not saying more when they're pressing her to say something to justify her allegations that we need to have a emergency, agency-wide retraining and certification. And that's why we're going with this Ready One that I want you to pay for, so that we can make sure that we're not creating more problems and that we're not all in trouble. How dare you? Tell us how bad it is. Well, there's five we know for sure. Only five? How dare you? Well, I can't say more because there's an investigation. Well, then you shouldn't have said anything at all. Well, you asked me to say something, sir. And this is like before things got bad. So what's their reaction? I don't want to know.
I can tell you that since I've been on board, we've been using expired equipment, which... You know, I'm trying to explain again to management, you cannot use expired equipment on a truck. If you're transporting a patient that's on a ventilator and it's beeping the entire time because it hasn't been calibrated, you need to get that equipment off the truck. These are things that I've been dealing with over the last several months.
And she's just trying to fix all of this stuff. Write whole manuals for policies and procedures in the field, finding out that people are inappropriately applying stuff they shouldn't be applying. People are operating under illegitimate certifications. The massive scope of problems that she discovered in EMS when she started peeling back the layers, okay? So she says, look, first of all, this training is not punishment, it's training, okay? And people who are professionals like to do training. So at the very least, we'll make sure that everybody's getting a training that they're going to appreciate and enjoy, and then we'll get this agency kind of back on its feet a little bit. But that's not what they're interested in. That's not what they want to know about.
You report it to? I mean, because I'm not gonna continue to talk in code. Who was your superior that you reported to a year ago that we needed to do these certifications? And if that's the fact, you know,
when we say a year ago, I think the first initial, I think it went out in November, and I would have to double check the emails to go back and see. This was discussed with Chief Neal. I know it was actually in October when you say.
So it was reported to Rusty. It was reported to Rusty Neal.
It was reported to Rusty, who reported it to Matt Coughlin and CC and Amy Lavoie.
That, by the way, was the fire chief at the time, the assistant county administrator at the time, and then the county administrator at the time.
I think I have that.
I would
I encourage anyone to make public records requests for my emails.
Okay.
That's Amy Lavoie saying she didn't know anything about it at the time. Jeff Bergosh comes in with a comment that we want people to have confidence in their EMS folks. They're good at this. Ramey Edler says, you know, look, I have faith in our people and I haven't quit yet because I care about this county. Then you have Stephen Barry, again, at the time.
Who?
It's 2019.
Who impeded your ability to change the culture that you saw a problem with?
Initially, it was Steve White.
Okay. Steve White left in July. Who has impeded your ability to do your work since then?
So making it a little bit more challenging would be what we have in the administrative staff would be Leon Salter, Kate Kenny, those people, Karen Wood, who was also put in a supervisor position. These people were appointed to positions by Steve White when he was in office. The common theme that I saw is that here's my medical license. It's a tool. You could use it for however you want to use it, which is not what I signed up for.
As in, once they had her on board, they could just do whatever they want under the cover of her license, whether she had permission or authority or punishment power. And that's not what she signed up for. Doug Underhill, remember him? He was the one sticking up for her at the time. Gets portrayed as the big villain in everything and doesn't get along with anybody. Or maybe the one guy who had it right about this stuff when maybe they could have done something. I don't know, they could have cut out the whole $5 million penalty, but maybe if they'd had taken action in 2019 and done what Ramey Edler was screaming about instead of firing her, terminating her employment while she was on leave, maybe the federal government would have said, okay, these penalties don't need to be quite so high, and also you might have averted future ones. I don't know. It's possible.
And I will tell you, if you did not know in October of last year that our two senior leaders within public safety were crying for a reorganization and all of these issues,
Chief Nail and Ramey Edler,
then somebody has kept us in the dark. And that information absolutely should have been made to every commissioner in the level of detail that I but that I have only gotten by continually asking hard questions.
So that's a part one of the flashback. There's a part two, because there was a committee of the whole that came a couple of days later. We'll cover that at 6:35. I wouldn't normally spend this much time on a 5 years ago meeting, but who remembers? I mean, you kind of vaguely remember that there was drama. You kind of vaguely remember that there was never-ending revolving doors of people quitting and not taking responsibility. You kind of vaguely remember that there was some controversy, and you kind of vaguely remember that Ramey Edler was a part of it all. You say, well, where did this $5 million come from? Where did the $950,000 come from? What's going on with the culture of the leadership of the three county commissioners, Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh? And I guess at the time this would have been Robert Bender would have been the fourth one at the time. And then, you know, Doug Underhill was the fifth. You know, what was going on there? And, you know, who was in charge of the county after Jack Brown had left? And remember, we had Amy Lavoie and then Matt Coughlin. And then, you know, we had Janice Gilley got brought in and then she left. And, you know, so I'm trying to help you understand whether or not when you go to vote in the primary and in November, whether this statement that we didn't know anything, we couldn't have controlled anything, nobody informed us, whether that's accurate or whether they stuck their heads in the sand and got angry at the messenger because they didn't like being told in public that there was massive problems in the county system, because they never like bad news to be brought to light in public, a pattern that has shown itself again and again and again, where they will retaliate against people who bring these things to public light. Because it makes them look bad. And it's especially like, you know, then it was not quite an election year. It was the year before an election year. This year it's an election year. But think about what happened with Deanna Oleski, you know, the medical examiner's office. Now, the county's not involved in that lawsuit yet. They may never be. It's against the funeral directors right now. But we all, I think, remember what happened there. So I want you to understand, and I know there's never a great time to do a history lesson, but this is the history lesson. So this is, and by the way, we podcast all this stuff, so you can go back and listen to it. You can share it if you want to share it with people so that they can be informed voters. 6:29 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. this is like, I know we're spending a lot of time on the EMS thing, but I think maybe a $5 million settlement payment versus $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 million, maybe that deserves a little bit of discussion. Maybe. Maybe it ought to be videoed. Maybe. It ought to be publicly available when you go to the Escambia County website to watch it. I mean, it's not, but it would be nice if it were.
Chairman, I second that with a point of clarification that it was to no knowledge of mine any of these things that existed. And I'm certainly following the advice of counsel that this is in the best interest of the citizens of Escambia County to conclude this.
And clearly. Clearly it is in the best interest of the citizens, and that language will be part of the settlement when that actually happens. This is simply an action of the board.
I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
So the Escambia County Commissioners, that was Lumen May's voice first and Stephen Berry's voice second, talking on Thursday after the Shade meeting about the Ramey Edler $5 million lawsuit settlement between her and the county and the United States government for Medicare fraud relating to improperly certified paramedics and a whole bunch of fraudulent behaviors involving claims with the federal government and how money was flowing back to EMS from them. Anyway, more on that meeting coming up at the top of the hour, but I played that the 5 o'clock hour start and I'm going to play it at the 7 o'clock hour start. That's just context. Okay. And the key thing to me, the key thing is we just put out $5 million to settle a lawsuit that could have been way more expensive. And the commissioners would have you believe, again, Commissioners Bergosh, May, and Barry would have you believe that they didn't know anything. They weren't responsible for this. It didn't happen because of them. It was all the fault of people who are now long since gone from the county. So I have been sharing with you audio from a 2019 pair of meetings that took place where Ramey Edler, then the medical director, again, she's the one that raised the charges. She's the whistleblower. She's the one getting $1.5 million from the county for improper behavior. And already got almost $1 million for being, you know, let go while she was on medical leave and retaliated against, my interpretation of what that settlement means. Okay, so then you have this second meeting going back in time to 2019. The first part of the hour, I played the first meeting. This is the second meeting. This was the meeting where Ramey Edler is trying to, a committee of the whole, by the way, which we haven't had in 2 years. Haven't had a committee of the whole. The reason you have a committee of the whole is so you can really get in depth into topics instead of just during the voting on one particular idea. So Janice Kilgore, remember, she had been brought in to be the ombudsman to... Ombudsman? I think that was... Because Jerry Maygard was brought in at a certain point, too. I think she... Anyway, she was brought in to figure out what was going on and to talk to people and get a sense of the lay of the land, okay? And here's the first thing, or one of the first things that she says in this County Commission, Board of County Commissioners Committee of the Whole.
Still receiving requests for meetings. It was a little slow at the beginning. There were people that were concerned with retaliation. They were afraid if they came to speak to me that something might happen to them. I think over a period of the last week, that's eased up a little bit. So it's gotten a little bit more frequent.
So people were afraid to talk to her for fear that she had been brought in as a representative of the administration and would basically rat them out or tell people what's going on and they'd be retaliated against, whether from administration all the way up to the county administrator or, you know, director of public safety, you know, EMS, that level. In any case, people were reluctant, right? And then you have Commissioner Underhill talking about how he's been looking into this stuff for quite some time.
And while I certainly believe that the people riding in those ambulances are rock stars, that Jeff's going trying to go in a different direction as though we're somehow accusing that they're not, I have spoken with many of them who say we need more training.
Right.
Precisely the kind of training that the medical director has been asking for and not getting.
Not of us, Jeff. Doug, to point that out, she's not asked it of us. I'm not saying that those requests didn't happen, but they didn't come here.
No, Stephen, I'm aware of that. I've been sitting here as well.
But
this isn't about us. It's about whether or not the training takes place.
No, it is about us because you allow the narrative to sound as if the board is complicit in something that's gone on, that the board has not been complicit in anything that has gone on.
Okay, so instead of getting angry about that narrative, maybe address the problem directly, Commissioner Barry. I mean, he's angry that Doug Underhill and Ramey Edler are making the board look bad when there's massive problems inside EMS. Again, 5 years ago, okay?
You say that she's asked for this and she can't get it. Those requests have not come to the board. Unless you've been privy to a tremendous amount of information that I have not been prior to a month ago, I was unaware of any of these issues. To say that we've not acted is to be disingenuous with the narrative about your colleagues. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings. I'm taking what you're saying and saying that's not true. It's not a matter of hurt feelings. Your narrative comes with a tremendous amount of legitimacy in the public
in the private, you know, in your private conversations, but certainly in the public, the media, on Facebook, your narrative comes with a lot of weight, because a reasonable person would assume that you know a tremendous amount, certainly more than the layperson. So when your narrative paints that picture of us, that is not, it's not a case of hurting my feelings, that is being a bad colleague.
What's the maiden business about?
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
What, weak women? Who can't, who, you're not some woman? That's, wow. Okay, all right, that's the direction. Anyway, going on in this meeting, okay?
Well, I didn't get elected to join a committee of, or a club. I got elected to...
Clearly.
Stephen, are you going to interrupt every single statement that I make? I mean, I'm welcome. I'm happy to relinquish the floor to you if you wish to speak, but I'm not. I can do my part, and then you can do your part after that if you like. I know these things because I ask hard questions. I know these things because I worked with Jack Brown through these things and make sure that we were and took more than just what was given to me and spoon-fed to me. I have often used the commentary that I feel like at times we've been kept in the dark, but by asking hard questions, I prevented myself from being kept in the dark.
In other words, I was doing my homework. What were you doing?
And each commissioner, this in no way impugns the character or the performance of any other commissioner.
So you've
there are things going on in the county that are not being brought to this board.
So I'm going to interrupt you again. So you are...
I can see that.
So you are saying that you were working with Jack during this period of time? I mean, you knew all these things going on. I mean, you haven't accomplished very much by that knowledge, if you're saying that you've been aware of it the whole time.
So the
guy who says he's figured some stuff out is now, he's yelling at him for not fixing it when it's all of their ignorance that has allowed this to go on all this time. And now they're attacking first Ramey Edler as the messenger, now Doug Underhill as the messenger.
One hand, it's that I asked. So on the one hand, it's that I asked too many questions. On the other hand, it's that I didn't micromanage enough. I'm trying to figure out what your position is, Commissioner Berry.
My position is interaction is the ability to work as a board.
Oh, that Doug Underhill, such a meanie with the meanie poopy face logic. How dare he? So, God, why don't you? I'm not some maiden that needs rescuing from my feelings, and now you're using logic on me. How dare you, sir? Just. Listen, if I seem salty this morning, it's because I had forgotten how bad this was in retrospect. I went back and listened to all of this yesterday. Oh, my God, hours I spent yesterday preparing. I went back and listened to all, and I just got angrier and angrier at every step of the way. We didn't know anything. You chose, well, my interpretation. You chose not to know, and then you got angry at the people who tried to tell you. More of this in a second. It's amazing, right?
I just keep laughing at the maiden comment.
The maiden
good
comment.
Good sir.
So back to this conversation about why Doug Underhill, the only commissioner who bothered asking questions to figure out that there were problems going on in EMS, is now getting yelled at by Stephen Berry for not doing more to tell them what he alone had done more to learn.
Okay, so you're saying that you knew a lot of stuff. Okay. Well, I would hope if you had that type of knowledge that you would have brought that to your colleagues for our support. I was not aware of the things that you were aware of when you say you asked tough questions, you found out what was going on. Well, then why didn't we have this discussion 7 months ago? I mean, I bring my ideas to our board. We set policy as a county. I bring my ideas here. Why didn't, when you were aware of issues, why didn't you bring those issues to our board?
Because I worked with the county administrator to bring those issues before the board. That was his job.
Jack Brown. And was he reluctant to bring this in front of a board of people who tend to consistently shoot the messenger when it's bad news? Ramey Edler. Again, the whole issue in this conversation was emergency training to make sure and get everybody in EMS properly certified as a whole staff. There are not many companies who do this. And, you know, Rescue One was the company that was available to do this. And that's what she was trying to get them to agree to.
Commissioner Bergosh or commissioners, I would like to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
If sure. You came into the emergency room, you were complaining of chest pain. Mm-hmm. And I came into your room and I told you, I'm looking at your EKG, I'm looking at your cardiac enzymes, I'm telling you that you're having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Are you going to debate with me
no.
whether or not I need to get you admitted?
That's
or
why
you
you're
need
finding
a cardiac
support
cath?
From the board.
Okay,
absolutely.
So I'm requesting an emergent request. I understand that in the last meeting they said there were 25 different agencies. I have yet to see one that even comes close. this agency that I've looked at, the main instructor that comes here has been nationally recognized. He is one out of two nurses in the entire United States that has all five board certifications.
There's one company I found that does this. We can get them. Let's go. Do it.
We sat here and we said that we do not have unqualified people who are running EMS. And so now we're going to put this community in a panic saying that we got to do this because people are dying.
But that's not what I'm saying.
It's not an emergency. I support the training. Excuse me. Dr. Ellen, excuse me. Vote how you want to vote. It's not an emergency.
So he's upset. Lumen May is upset that she's talking over him and trying to tell him what's going on when he's mischaracterizing it.
I'm not against the training, as I said, Commissioner McGosh, but don't skate through the normal procurement because you're setting a bad precedent. And we don't have qualified people. We went from wanting to spend $50,000 to certify five people. That's what the emergency was that we had. Now, you can be chairman or I can be chairman.
You're
going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
What? I will not be talked to in that tone, madam. So now we got one dude who says, I'm not some maiden that needs protecting from my feelings. Now we got another one that won't listen to the medical director when she's trying to tell him what's going on and that, you know, he's the chairman and she doesn't need to be talking over him.
Let me put it to you this way. For instance, take the MCAT. There's people that went to medical school that scored higher than I did on the MCAT. I graduated in the top 10% of my class, and some of those people that scored higher than me on the MCAT, I wouldn't let treat my dog. So there is documented proof that even if you go through a didactic class, within 1 month of doing that didactic class, you lose the skills.
You need to be doing the training all the time. And they hadn't been for a while.
As far as five individuals and certifications, people who don't have their ACLS certification can go online and pay $100 a piece to get their ACLS certification, maybe $120, something of that sort. We're not talking $50,000 for certification renewal. That's where we're looking at it as a whole different perspective, what I'm trying to tell you. It's more that we need a whole culture change. We need to look at the proficiency of everybody that's operating under my license to make sure that they're well-established with their training, that we build that muscle memory that they need to continue to move forward, and so we don't keep getting the complaints coming out from the community.
She's trying to fix the whole thing and nobody's helping her other than Rusty Nail. And that's not going to last long either, right? I mean, he resigned, but then when he saw that there was a change in the administrator, he tried to come back. I mean, it's just like, it's yeoman's work these two were trying to do, and nobody, the Doug Underhill, was listening.
Where my concern comes in, too, is where the liability is also placed in our hands. So not just on the county, but also on my medical license. That's why I had the discussion with Ms. Rogers, where she said she could defend it or support it, because she sees that this could be potentially emergent. An emergency happens tomorrow, and we're not prepared, and we don't have the proper training. That is one of the first things that attorneys will come after you for litigation, not having that proper training. So if we don't feel it's emergent, and if we can get it in 3 weeks, okay, because I don't know if these people can get down here in 3 weeks, yeah. But my recommendation would be to proceed as fast as we can because we've been requesting this since January.
And Doug Underhill?
I know that at least two individuals on our team were given a card for a training that they do not have. That speaks to a crisis in training and a crisis in credibility and a crisis in qualification that I don't need to see anymore to know that this meets the legislative criteria for an emergency.
And that's all that this meeting was about. Do we have an emergency? Do we need to get somebody in here that can do agency-wide training and certification to make sure that we're not sending unqualified, falsely certified, improperly trained people out into the field? Many of them are great. Some of them clearly were not. And we got the only way we can really fix this is a culture shift in leadership and to make sure we get everybody trained and on the same page. And you know what they pitched a fit about? The county commissioners, Stephen Berry particularly, pitched a fit about? Well, how dare you bring us a recommendation for just one company? That single source procurement kind of stuff is not going to fly. And she's trying to say, it's an emergency. And this is the only place that really does this. And we can get them to come do this. We need to do it. And they're upset at her because she's bringing just the one agency.
To openly advocate for one vendor to provide a service, you're in my opinion, you're not going to be successful doing that from the podium. You're outlining what you need, but you're not going to be able to just directly place the business from the county with one vendor.
And I understand that, but where I guess even when I was learning this procurement process and I was told about sole source, because I didn't even know what that was, my first impression is this is sole source. I've never seen anything like this. Actually, if I were to not have this job, I was like, I would love to give them some competition because you don't have this anywhere else.
So eventually what they voted to do, Commissioner Underhill tried to get them to do the emergency training with this one organization. Their name always escapes me. It's Ready One or whatever. Rescue One, that's it. And they said no. And then he said, well, okay, let's do an expedited procurement to try to find somebody to do this. And they said yes. But it never happened. It just never happened. Over like kind of the death of 1,000 paper cuts, the process never happened. We never did get the training from an outside agency. So when they say they didn't know, and when they say they can't be blamed, and when they say the $5 million isn't their fault, all I'm asking you to think about is whether you believe that narrative today fits with what you've heard this hour from the meeting in 2019. That's it.
Now call to order the attorney-client session, May 2nd, 2024, 3:30 p.m., actually 3:47 p.m. County Attorney requests the board retire to the BCC conference room for the attorney-client session regarding the case United States of America, ex rel. Ramey Edler, M.D. versus Escambia County.
This was on Thursday, and the Board of County Commission meeting in Escambia County started off with the agenda review, pretty normal in the morning. A lot of stuff they covered, and we talked about a lot of that stuff on Friday. There's still more to cover. I haven't covered it all yet, but, you know, and the evening meeting, there was a lot of good stuff in there. Right between those two meetings, you had two what are called shade meetings. A shade meeting is where the elected officials can meet with their attorneys to discuss amongst themselves legal strategy, legal advice, what to do, is it serious, do we settle, do we not settle, what do we do, okay? Those are called shade because they are under the sunshine, but they are temporarily withheld from public view because legal strategy is something that any entity involved in the lawsuit is entitled to protect from its adversaries who would use that information to exploit their position and weaken their position. So it is public, but not yet, and it will eventually be public. So they go into the shade meeting. Actually, I had two of them. One had to do with the text messages lawsuit, the Replevin case against Jonathan Owens, P&J, and Alex Arduini. We didn't learn anything else about that on Thursday, so apparently they have not decided to abandon, settle, or whatever, or quit. So, but we'll see. You know, I'm sure news to come. But the Ramey Edler lawsuit, remember, she was the medical director, and if you haven't been listening this morning, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to balance the recap at all to not recap any, because we've been talking about this a lot this morning. The short version is this. Ramey Edler was hired in 2018 to be the medical director. That means that her medical license covers all of the medical decisions made by county who are employed to do medical stuff. You know, her medical covers the EMS and like corrections medical, I believe at the time. Also, I think fire medical, like anything related to medical stuff, her license is responsible for. And then she discovers, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Massive problems in EMS, which led to people resigning, people, I believe some of them got fired, I just can't remember for sure. Several county administrators recycled through, one after another after another. She came to the board in 2019 and told them about all the problems, asked them for an emergency training. They agreed, but then didn't follow through on actually doing it, and they didn't agree to the one she asked for. They said, we'll go through a process. Eventually, nothing came of all of that. She went out on medical leave. They replaced her while she was gone. She said that was retaliation for her being a whistleblower. They paid her $950,000 recently related to that claim. And now the $5 million, or at least the, you know, we don't know what it was going to be, but over Medicare fraud. This has to do with running claims as paramedics on ambulances that where they don't have the proper certifications. Over claiming for like the high percentage of paramedic runs, which you get reimbursed by Medicare with. And that was, you know, she was the whistleblower on all that. And there were several rounds of discovery. And remember, the county kept resisting the request for information. They didn't want to query their databases to satisfy the lawsuit. Like, the county has done everything it can to not cooperate with any of this, okay? And then I've played you over the last hour how the county commissioners did not want to hear about any of this back in 2019, said they weren't at blame. and they kept trying to shoot the messenger, whoever the messenger was, and then they got rid of the messengers. Flash forward to Thursday. They come back out of the shade meeting. The discussion about what to do with this massive pending lawsuit from the federal government and Ramey Edler.
Good afternoon. Reconvened the shade meeting back in the chambers. The board would entertain a motion to conclude the shade meeting.
So Stephen Barry's the chairman. They've all gotten together in the back room, and the advice given to them by counsel is settle this thing. Spend $5 million, $3.5 million to the U.S. government, $1.5 million to Ramey Edler. Settle this thing, be done with it. It could be a whole lot worse, and nobody will move the item. That's Stephen Barry's frustrated breathing as we're waiting for somebody to do something.
Drawing straws.
Nobody wants their name on the motion. Nobody wants their name on the motion. Nobody wants to pay. We're waiting. When Jim Little says it was 2 minutes of silence, this is what he's talking about. Nobody's doing nothing.
All right. Chair's listening to entertain a motion to conclude the shade meeting. Is one forthcoming?
Just a reminder, we have to do something. We all agreed in the dark, the shade, that we were going to pay this, presumably. And now nobody's willing to step forward and actually make the motion to pay it.
Gentlemen.
Could y'all please do something?
I mean, if you want to pass the gavel and make the motion, Mr. Chairman, I mean, I'll second it.
Lumen May says, Mr. Chairman, why don't you do it? You pass the gavel and then you can do it as the chairman.
Is that what's going to be necessary? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I got to take this bullet as the chairman?
I'd be more comfortable with that, yes.
Yeah, I would not be comfortable doing it myself. But you can do it, and I'll second
it. Mike, you hear me that?
$5 million. Much less than it could have been, by the way.
I move two items. A, to approve a settlement payment in the amount of $5 million in settlement of all remaining claims in the matter of United States of America, ex rel Ramey M. Edler, MD versus Gamey County.
So he made the motion. Lumen May.
Mr. Chairman, I second it with a point of clarification that it was to no knowledge of mine any of these things that existed. And I'm certainly following the advice of counsel that this is in the best interest of the citizens of Escambia County to conclude this.
And clearly, clearly it is in the best interest of the citizens, and that language will be part of the settlement when that actually happens. This is simply an action of the board.
And as I've been saying, what I hear when he says that is,
I know nothing, nothing.
I'm not responsible. I didn't know anything. We're going to put that into the settlement. He said, Lumen May says, I want to be sure everyone involved was reprimanded and that this has all been stopped. Jeff Bergosh says, we paid $950,000 a few weeks ago. I vehemently oppose that.
Given what we've seen, I have no other choice but to accept.
They have to accept this settlement because the evidence is overwhelming, presumably. Again, we don't have the transcript from the shade meeting.
This settlement, but I think it's very important for the citizens to know that the conduct occurred years and years ago, more than 10 years ago, before many of us were on the board. The conduct also had nothing whatsoever to do with the board. It was operational issues from previous employees and previous administrators.
According to the PNJ and the amended complaint filed by Ramey Edler, it took place between 2014 and 2020, which, by the way, would be a year after she raised this issue to the board, or something that was the precursor to this issue to the board. And it was going on well during their tenure, all of their tenures. Jeff Bergosh has been on the board for 8 years. Stephen Barry and Lumen May have been on the board for 12 years. So they're going to stipulate that they didn't know anything, even though it was during their tenure?
And although this looks like an extraordinarily large number, the number could have been geometrically worse. And going through the information in the back room, which we did, which will all be public, you'll all be given copies of the transcripts.
Will
eventually.
So again, they're trying to persuade us without the evidence. And I don't disagree that this could have been much worse. 20, 40, 50, 100 million. Who knows? And there were decisions, I think, by the judge to limit the scope of the inquiry, and it could have been even more than just that. Like, where could this balloon to? $5 million starts to look like a bargain, but the question is, who's being held accountable? And who is responsible, and who refused to know, and could it have been made better if they'd have taken action in 2019? Could that have been used as evidence to the federal government that, hey, as soon as we found this out, we tried to fix it? Well, none of that did happen. Back to the county commission meeting on Thursday, Stephen Berry making sure that the language explaining that they didn't know anything is in the settlement.
Whereas defendants states that by entering into this agreement, the Escambia County Commissioners are not admitting any guilt and affirmatively denying knowledge of or any type of participation in any illegal conduct that was alleged in that matter. So that will be part of the settlement as well, in addition to the two items that were the motion.
Again, I spent the last hour and the 6 o'clock hour giving you the evidence to decide for yourself whether you think they did know, didn't know, refused to know, deliberately avoided knowing, didn't take action that would have ameliorated some of this stuff. You can listen to that podcast, newsradio923.com. Mike Kohler, the new District 2, seems like District 2 just sort of gets the voice of reason on these things. Doug Underhill tried to be the voice of reason 5 years ago. Now Mike Kohler, the nurse, right? That's what his job was in the Navy.
Mr. Right. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment.
Thank sure. You. Go ahead, Mike.
I dreaded today. I really did. I hate paying this money. $5 million is going to hurt the staff. It's going to hurt people in my community. It's mind-boggling to me that we're in this situation. I've ran these kind of departments, had these kind of issues. I just can't even understand how in the world we got in this position. I really can't.
How did EMS get so messed up? How did it stay so messed up? And how did we not fix it once the mess up came to light?
The amount of money that's going out of this county, we have to do better. There's just no way this kind of money can continue to go out.
And by the way, Molly Barrows of the PNJ has a good article this morning summarizing all the totals. It's an enormous amount of money that is going out to these lawsuits. More than $9 million since 2021. And there's others on top of that, including for the jail and some others. I mean, it's crazy amounts of money. And
the problem I have with this, there's no accountability for nobody. There was no accountability for Sea Lover. There's no accountability for Kenny. Now, Dr. Adler, there's no accountability. Nobody's held accountable for all this money except for the citizens of Escambia County or held out the bag. $5 million more dollars over 3 years are the only ones being held accountable.
And by the way, some of these funds are paid by insurance, not this one. So that's just your tax dollars is what's happening here.
I don't know what the answer is, but I will agree with Commissioner Gosh. It could have been way, way, way worse. So $5 million, $50,000, $950,000, $200,000, $9,000, $6,900. It just keeps going out. So, yeah, I'll vote for it.
I'll make it happen. Okay, so then how did the vote go? So the video doesn't exist. Studio 850 and John Singley managed to get the audio recording that I'm playing for you that I didn't think existed either, but he actually went through the trouble of asking for it, and we got it. So why is the video not up on the Escambia County website? Just an oversight? Could be. And I'm not implying that it wasn't, because that would imply that employees of the county were helping cover this up, and I don't think that's true. I don't have any reason to believe that's true. But I'm just telling you, the video, I watched the meeting. It's not in the video. This is not there. This happened before the public forum, and it's not on the video. So then they go to vote.
All right, board, there are no, thank you for the note, Madam Counsel. There are no public comments. Go ahead and call the question. All those in favor, indicate by please raising your hand.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have a complete complement.
Oh, we don't. Okay, well.
I think we all have to be on record.
Yes, yeah, okay. Well, we'll table the discussion for a moment.
So you remember how Luma May didn't want to be part of the making of the motion and was reluctant to do all of that and wanted to make sure everybody knew that none of them were to blame and none of them knew? I'm inferring from what I hear that he left the dais, went to the bathroom or something, I don't know, in before the vote could happen. And now we're waiting again for all of the commissioners, all four of them, because we're still down when District 4 is vacant. We're waiting. Because Jeff Bergosh is right. Everybody ought to be on record on this vote. $5 million. Could have been a lot worse. Still waiting. Still waiting. Had to go off the dais at just that point. Still waiting. Oh, wait, there he is.
All right, Commissioner. The motion's on the floor. We're calling the question. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. Item passes 4-0. That concludes the shade meeting.
I mean, I just don't have any words. My job is to have words. I just don't even have words. It's, you decide what to do with all this. 724 on News Radio 92.3. It's an election year. It's an election year. Why do you think they're so reluctant to do this in an election year? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put some of this stuff together. And by the way, we still didn't even talk about how the EMS chief, David Torcel, resigned on Friday. Or got resigned on Friday. You know, you read between the lines and you decide what happened. But is this related to the other stuff? I don't think so. Yeah. Just the, oh, yes, and also this happened, right? David Wayne's in the newsroom with our head.